It's going to cover introduction to this book. It is short book. Obviously, it's hard to cover each part of it, but just an overview. Titus chapter 1, start from verse 1 to verse 5. Paul, a servant of God, and an epistle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause lift I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Chapter 2, another section, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. One more verse, chapter 3, verse 12. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. The book of Titus, as we know, that the third pastoral epistle that written by Paul. And it is the shortest one of them, and most of the time it's overshadowed by 1st and 2nd Timothy, giving the fact that 1st and 2nd, they have more doctrine and maybe more personal message to Timothy. But Titus, even though, has a lot of things we can enjoy. It's a short one. It's three chapters, easy to read, easy to digest and understand what is there. It's interesting, it's hard actually to keep your mind from comparing between Timothy and Titus. If you look to Titus, you find the message here more directed. Yes, it's written to Titus, but it's more directed to what is he doing in the local assembly there. As we understand, Titus was the personal missionary of Paul to Crete. And it looks likely there were many assemblies in Crete, not only one, but probably multiple ones. Titus, you can sense the personality of his. It is more likely he was more aggressive, has more personality in a way. He can push his idea or the doctrine more than Timothy. You can feel from the book of Timothy 1st and 2nd that Timothy was kind of sincere, sensitive. I'm not saying Titus wasn't, but sensitive, maybe has some stomach sickness or so. He was sent to Ephesus, Timothy. But Titus, we understand, he was sent at least twice or more. First, he was sent to Corinth. And we understand likely he was sent after the writing of the 1st Corinthians. So he was sent to follow up with what happened there after there were lots of problems, as we understand there. So he was sent for a strong message to correct things there. And if we go to 2 Corinthians, we can see more about Titus as a person as we see here. And many, especially in chapter 7 and chapter 8, we might go through some of those. But what, the good thing is we can think that God made us different personality. We are not all the same. One probably has different ability. One may be more aggressive, one more quiet, one in the middle. Different ones. The good thing God has used to each one of us. He can use that ability. Whatever is, use it for His good. If we give it to the Lord. So we see a person here, Titus, God used him, his ability. Crete looks like the people there with very hard to deal with. We see them, their focus was not themselves, as we see here in verse 12, 11 and 12. They were focusing in their desire. They were making problem and so. So they needed somebody to push the doctrine, to be aggressive. Short overview, who is the writer? Simply, as we understand from verse 1, Paul, a servant of God. So clearly the writer here is Paul. And as we see, this is the message Paul always writes. So Paul is the writer here. He was writing to Titus, and from verse 5 we can understand, likely, I'm not saying for assurance, but likely, Paul was at some point in Crete. Could be that, because he's saying, for this cause left I thee. Maybe he was with him and left him, and could be he sent him, another word, but we don't know exactly. But he had some idea. He knows what's going on there. So, and he's telling Titus that there is a message you're going to do, but I am sending, as we read in chapter 3, Artemis and Tychicus to replace him. So it seemed likely that he's going to stay for a period. I'm not sure for how long, but he's going to leave after finishing his service there. Now, as I mentioned, it is written to Titus. The meaning of Titus as a name is honorable. That's just the general meaning of it. So he was an honorable person, probably. The meaning gives us an idea about the person himself. If we go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, if we want to look at that, but simply, we understand that Titus was a Greek. Both parents, he was a Greek. Paul mentioned that he was a Greek. Comparing to Timothy, Timothy was his father Greek and his mother a Jew. So again, this is, he came from different race, and the Lord has used for that. Sometimes we think about where I'm coming from and what's my race and what's my background, and so God used that the same for a purpose. So he was a Greek person. And one of the purpose actually to connect that, Paul took him with him to meet the apostles in Jerusalem. We understand that from Acts chapter 15. When there was a problem and the Jewish, we want to make the Gentile apply the law in the churches, Paul was against that. And he took a group of people. One of them was Titus. He took Titus with him and Barnabas, and they went to meet the elders at Jerusalem. And Titus was taking as a case, like he's a Gentile. So Paul is taking him, I am taking a case, a Gentile person. Why do you want to let the law applied in him? There is no need to do that. So his background, God used it to use the idea that the law shouldn't apply in the time of grace. So that's simply some idea about him. Paul referred to him different time, as we understand, and likely he knew the Lord through Paul's ministry. He said here in verse 4, I think, my own son. So he is a spiritual father of his. Okay. Again, if we go to 2 Corinthians, we see the inside feeling or the inner feeling of Titus himself. We see a person that his whole desire was for the assembly and for correcting and getting back. We understand that Paul was waiting to hear from him at one point, And he was quite anxious to see what is the result of his ministry, what is the result of his service. And he came back, we understand that from 2 Corinthians 7:13, if you want to refer to that. And he mentioned the joy of Titus. And we see a person has spiritual feeling, and his joy, his happiness was related to the work of the Lord. He was not happy because something physical in his life, that's nothing wrong with that, but he has a spiritual joy and happiness as a result of the development or the fruit of the work of the Lord. It is part of our structure, the feeling that we have. And probably it's good sometimes to express it. If there is good meeting, there is something I'm enjoying, something I'm happy with it, it's good to share with it. And that what happened here. Titus did share with Paul that he was rejoicing, he was happy. He was sent also to 2 Corinthians as a part of service to make a collection to get the money to the poor one in Jerusalem. This is just general idea about the person. We see him also who was quite sincere. He did not desire to take anything from Corinth. He did not was taking money or anything like that. So we see a person completely his purpose to serve the Lord. That's the person which Paul wrote to him in Titus here. If we think about the timing and the location, when and from where Paul wrote, we don't know exactly from where he wrote. There is multiple suggestions here and there. But we think likely he wrote after his first imprisonment, after he was in jail first time. That's probably after. Many writers, they think it is wrote between 63 and 65 AD. That's the likely time of that. Now, some idea about the city where is this written to. As we understand, Crete. Crete was an island. It's not a place. If you look to the map in the Mediterranean, sometime in the middle toward the east, somewhat northeast, you find Crete. It's a small island. It's about 150 mile times 6 versus 32 average. It's probably was depending on fishing and resources like that. It's not a very rich place. But interesting to see the people there. The Bible expressed here, Paul mentioned in verse 12, about one of the writer of the Christian people. He said, one of themselves, even a prophet, likely here meaning a poet, of their own said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellers. So that is the background of the place that he is serving. In a place people used to lie, evil beasts, that's just, this is expressing by itself, it tells us about the people, slow bellers. So those people there. And it's amazing that the grace of God reached those people. That's us. We were like that. But the grace God changed them. So from that group, there are believers. God wants us to direct them, change their life. Talking about good work. Talking about how to represent the Lord. And so there are many good doctrine here. And actually the emphasis here about how to show our Christian belief to the outside people, as we will see in chapter 3. So that's what happened. God changed heart. But Titus was dealing with still some of those. Some of them, they were not real believers. They were in the assembly, apparently, and they were false teachers. So he has to deal with those kind of people. Now, what's the purpose of his writing? Simply as we read, or what's the purpose of that short epistle here? He said in verse 5, for this cause I left, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So there were things needed. Things need to put in order. So that's the purpose. That's the purpose number one. Two, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So he was doing these two jobs, and if you noticed here, he said elders, it's a plural, it's not one, and in every city. So every local assembly has its own elders. It's not one, and it's not group control many assemblies. So here is the expression. So there are things wanted and to appoint one. Also, he mentioned lots of exhortation and doctrine to Titus. He can pass it to the other. As we understand, Paul has close group to him. We understand Timothy, Titus, Demas, Luke, Mark, and others. Those are the ones they were very close to Paul in his service. And Paul mentioned to us in Timothy that, to Timothy he mentioned to pass the doctrine to others that are faithful to pass it to the other believers. So Paul used this method always to pass the doctrine to others, like Titus, like Timothy, to pass it to others as well. If we look to the three chapters, simply chapter number 1, from verse 1 to probably verse 4, it's an introduction and salutation. We probably go to some touch in that. And then the chapter takes us to the church leadership. Chapter 2 takes us to the church members and the relation between them. Chapter 3, it takes us to the church member and their relation, or the assembly member and their relation, or what can they reflect to the world outside. So actually, if you look to that, that's a progress of thinking. First, the local assembly, the leadership in it. Then, the assembly itself, divided here probably to 5 groups, talks about the old men, old women, young women, young men, and servants. And some talk to Titus himself. And how can they interact with one another? Chapter 3 takes us, how can we deal with the people from outside? And how can we use the belief and our relation to the Lord and to reflect our testimony to others? There are some keywords I notice might be good to notice when we read here. First, probably the first one we read, in due times, that's I believe in verse 2, in due times, that's a specific time. There is time God appear. God gives salvation in due times. In Paul writing, many times you see that word. The second word, he uses that a lot here, sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. He mentioned that to Titus, and he mentioned that before to Timothy as well. Sound doctrine is basically meaning healthy doctrine. That means there is something unhealthy. So healthy doctrine, as we keep saying, healthy food, healthy diet, whatever. So those kind of things that makes a person healthy. So if we talk about healthy doctrine, that's what's going to lead to healthy life. So the purpose of God, not to fill our mind only with ideas and doctrine, but to transfer the idea of knowing the doctrine to have a healthy life. That's what God wants us to be. Obviously, it comes from the mind. Most of our action comes from here. When I understand, then I will do. I mean, if it comes to the opposite, we'll be led by the flesh, not by the spirit. So God wants us to be this. So sound doctrine is a word repeated multiple times here. Also the word good work. You notice he's talking to each group. Probably you notice even the elders. After that, the young people. After that, the young woman, and so on. Good work. So good work, that's something God looking to that to show what's in our heart. The last word, I notice it's repeated multiple times, diligently. So God wants us to be diligent of what we do. He's not only want us to do good work, but I think diligent is higher than that. So like, I'm doing good, but diligently, with all my heart, with all ability to show that I am a servant to the Lord. With this, we'll start from chapter 1 with some touching and different verses here. Paul starting his word with salutation and introducing himself as a servant of God. The first thing he's saying, servant of God. So he's talking to Titus, who is serving. He's saying, I'm not just ordering to you because I am the apostle, but I am servant. So you always see the humbleness of this man. Humble. I am servant of God. and you are serving the Lord. And actually he told him that they are brethren. My brother Titus, he mentioned that in 2 Corinthians. So they, as if we are the same. We are a fellow worker. He mentions the same expression again in 2 Corinthians. So as a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he was using that title that he is an apostle because he's going to give an idea or doctrine. So when there is doctrine, it needs some authority. So there is nothing wrong that when it is doctrine, it has to be clear, powerful, and that's what it is. So the doctrine he's going to give as he is the one took that from the Lord. According to the face of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. He has a goal in hope of eternal life. So he's bringing the election, and he's bringing also in his eye the promise of eternal life. So there is something not temporary only, but something in the future. There's a promise of eternal life that God gave. Then in verse 5, he said to Titus, mine own son, after a common faith. So they have something in common, the faith, the belief that they share in Christ. And then they bring the common salutation of Paul multiple times. He said, grace, faith, grace, mercy, and peace. You notice the word grace mentioned more in Timothy and Titus. When he writes to a person, mercy. We need mercy. So that doesn't mean as an assembly we don't need mercy. But for a person, that's something mercy needed. Mercy and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, as we mentioned, the two reasons that he sent Titus for. Then from verse 6 to verse 9, he did talk about the elders. And one can think, so elders was mentioned before in 2 Timothy, so what is the reason why it's mentioned again? If you look in Timothy, was mentioned in different way. Was mentioned in a way if somebody has a desire. If a person has a desire to be an oversight, and he give us the character of this person. Here is giving us an idea about what is the assembly or what is the oversight in the assembly look to for the person to be an oversight as well. So that's the difference between both. Obviously there are multiple good characters. It doesn't mean only to be in the elders. Obviously it should, but also it's all we can benefit from it. So as we see here, he was blameless and no accusation in him, husband of one wife, having a faithful children, obviously husband of one wife, meaning the person has one woman only in his life. Also, doesn't mean he has to be married. It's quite preferable, but it doesn't mean so here. I mean, it could be a person is oversight, but he's not married. But the idea just has only one woman in his life. And we find five negative things he's mentioned. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not striker, not given to filthy lucre. Those are the things that he shouldn't have. Six positive things we see. He loves hospitality, love of God's men, super, just, holy, temperate. And lastly, you find him, he is able to teach in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that to may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort to convert the gainsayers. It's clear that the doctrine has a lot of focus here. So if the elders or the oversight knows the doctrine, that will help a lot of offending the people that they're coming from outside with wrong doctrine. Now from verse 10, he's telling us an idea, as we heard, about those people that they have the wrong doctrine. So the refutation of false teacher and how could be done. It's noticeable here, you notice, for there are many unruly. It's clear unruly, they have no rule, nothing rules them. So this is the false teacher. They are not ruled by any rule. and vain talkers, just idle talker. They are saying things doesn't help. Idle talker and deceiver, especially there are of the circumcision, obviously the Jews, whose mouths must be stopped. So there is time that Titus has to stop and say, that has to be stopped. There is time that grace can be used, and there is time there is no grace. There's just that doctrine has to be stopped. Because what's going to do? It's going to, he mentioned to us here, who subvert whole house. It just turn house upside down. That's the idea here. So wrong doctrine can be very dangerous in the assembly of God. And that's why sometimes for wrong doctrine has to be quite firm, not to let it go, but has to be stubborn. As we mentioned, the character of them. Verse 13, this witness is true. Paul is agreeing with what this poet was said about them. Then we'll go to probably briefly to chapter 2. Chapter 2, he's starting the chapter with exhorting Titus to teach, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. As I mentioned, healthy doctrine. That I want you to do. What are these sound doctrine? He's beginning here in verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. So he's giving us idea, as I said, the dividing to multiple group. As we said, there's five group here. So he started with the aged men. We all look to each other sometimes for example. And that's probably something important mentioned here. So the aged men, aged woman, the younger one will look at them. So if the example is set up and the standard is high, God uses. And we each of us, either young or old, has to remember there's somebody else could be looking and seeing what am I doing. And God can use this. So the aged men has to be sober. Sober idea, they're not drunk, or at least in good alertness of mind. Grave. Temperament, discreet, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So those are the character that God wanted to see in us. The aged woman, it's interesting he moving to the aged woman. It's many times you can look, there's not mention about how the woman can serve the Lord. But here there's a good introduction to how they can serve God in the assembly. It doesn't mean always, but here there's no idea actually of talking. Is the idea of life. The aged men, how they live. How is our life can reflect our belief and our faith in the Lord. So it's saying the aged woman, likewise, as before, that they be in the behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers. So here's the idea as their behavior reflect what they do have. What's inside comes outside. So he's saying, not false accuser, not slandering, not talking about other people. There's tendency sometimes we talk about others, this, and so. But here, he wants us not using this direction, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman. So here there is a good message that the aged woman can pass it to young one. So the young woman to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. So that's what the example can be set. Here's the idea to be a husband lover, a children lover, discreet in their life, keepers of home. That's the beginning of the actually, probably we can say, seeing a good young people in assembly started probably from home. If mothers teaching the children and raising them in the fear of the Lord, that would lead to having good young one. And so that's the result, the aged one affecting in the young one, and then they affect in their own children. And the cycle will come, that the young one will come to the Lord to be discreet, chaste, keeping keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband. that the word of God be not blasphemed. So as the world from outside is looking to us what we're doing. So there's blasphemy can come because we are not doing what the Lord wants us to do. Now he moved to the young men. And he didn't mention too much to young men, except he's saying, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. So it doesn't, but he's saying likewise, that's similar to what was before, but has to be sober-minded. And interesting, the idea, it has the idea of self-control or self-readiness. So it sounds like the young men more, the mind that is the thing is going to disturb them. So it has to be self-controlled. He's telling them, they need to control the mind. In that age, you think they wanted to go here and there and do different things. But self-controlled their mind. Sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself. So he's not telling Titus, just tell them, do this and this and this. But you, as a case, you are an example. You are important. You can't teach what you don't do. What's the problem to happen that many times we teach, but we don't do? So he's saying, in all things showing thyself a pattern. You are a case. You are an example. If you do this, pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. When the world will see how are we behaving, what we're doing, they can't say anything evil because the example is set. And he is encouraging him to exhort the servant. This is the last group in that chapter, the servant. And as we heard Sunday, the servant could apply in all, most of us, if not all. Because servant here, I mean, this group at that time was a big group. They're coming from slavery and became Christian. And he has to address this group in the assembly. But in our day, there's no slavery. But there is serving that we work. Each one of us probably, either a student, work, not exactly working, but you represent your teacher, college, you represent your professor, and so on. So we are all probably can benefit from that. So exhort the servant to be obedient and to their own masters. And actually it's coming to the idea obedient blatantly to obey in everything. Obviously not of the thing that is contrary to the word of God. So obedient without questioning, because we tend, when we have order, I tend myself, if I have order, to question it. Why should I do that? Why is it not the other way around? And so. But they say, obedient. You listen to the master. Obedient to their own masters. And to believe them well in all things. Not answering again. So it's not the idea of just only doing, many times you hear, I'm just to do what I'm supposed to do and leave. It's actually higher than that. Please them well in all things. Just you have to put the highest standard. You want to please whom you are doing. If you are in a school, you want it to get to look to the high mark. If you are at work, you look to do the best standard, the highest level I can reach. And actually, this is nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean I'm going to spend my time just doing my work just to get to the highest level. I mean, obviously, there is a balance. But as a Christian, it's the best testimony for us as a believers to be the best workers, to the best student. That's what gives the good testimony and bring people to the Lord. And believe them well in all things, not answering again, not proving, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. So adoring the doctrine of God, it's just, here it's not coming because they teach or they preach or they did anything. They just show a good testimony. So my life, it's going to let people adorn and look at the doctrine of God as a good example. Now, why we do this? Why all this group, the young men, the young woman, the aged one, and the servant, why all we can do that? It's getting to us and tell us what is the foundation of that godly living. Why shall we live godly living? He's saying, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So the grace of God reached us. Whatever group you are on, whatever category are you on, the grace of God reached you. So as a result, that's the foundation. Grace of God reached you, makes you live godly living. So living godly living as a result of the grace that reached me. And the same grace, he's talking verse 12, the same grace teaching. So he's talking about how can you live, how can we act. Who teaches us this? The grace itself. So the grace saved us, and the same grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's not the idea that I am feeling kind of, I would like to live ungodly, but just I'm living this because, and I have the desire. No. Here is a higher standard, denying ungodly. This is not what I should do, and this is not what I should think about. The standard is higher. The grace reached me. I am a godly person. I am represented to the Lord. Loving the Lord Himself, that would lead to that. Not only that, but also looking for something after that. So the grace reached us and saved us. The grace can teach us, but looking after this, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance. So there is hope. It's not only you're living here on earth, but there is something after. There is a hope, and the hope that the Lord will come again, and the glorious appearance. So the word appearance comes with not the rapture, but when the Lord appears again, forgiving the price for His people. So you live the godly life. Not only actually, I mean, here we can say, because there is reward, which is good. But we live godly life not only for the sake of the reward, but for the sake of loving the Lord Himself. What happened, you know, it's many times you feel, you go to workplace, you find somebody working hard and trying to please somebody else. Because you love your teacher, you love your boss, you love somebody, you wanted to please that person. And who we can love and wanted to please more than our Lord, that He died for us and He gave His life for us. So it's not only looking for the glorious coming of His and the reward, but to please Him, to love Him more, and to work and to give our life for Him. And He said in verse 14, who gave Himself? He gave Himself for me and died for us. So the minimum I can do, that I can give my life for Him and what I do. And He wants us to live a peculiar people. He wants us to be His own, the cloistered zealous of good work. Notice the word zealous. Notice the expression. He wanted us to be, not wanted to be just good work, zealous. That's wanted to be higher standard, as we mentioned. Now we come to chapter 3, and just a brief word about it. The believers, or the Christians and the world, how can we represent our Lord? He started here, put them in mind. So as he's impressing that, just put this in their mind. Let it be clear in their mind. To be subject to principalities, and the word principalities carry the authority where they live, and powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So this is what we represent between authorities and between people. And it is part of what we should do that would be subject. We obey. I mean, many times we enjoy kind of criticizing authorities and see what they did in the township, how they did the road this way, and how they changed, and so on. I mean, this is our nature. We like to criticize. But as a believer, especially for a good testimony, I shouldn't be this way. Put them in mind. Keep that in their mind. To be subject. Whatever the order in the place where I live, whatever the order in the country where I live, whatever in the township, wherever I am, in the school, at work, whatever it is, I should obey. And to be ready to every good work. It's not only obeying, but the ready gives you the idea, the readiness, that I wanted to do good. There's option. There's a potential here to show that I am Christian, I am connected to the Lord. To speak evil of no man. That's connected to what we mentioned. To speak evil of no man. I mean, there are many people are evil. But that's not what I should do. I shouldn't talk evil about no man. It's very clear, nobody. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. How about very high standard? It's very hard to reach it. Showing all meekness unto all men. If we think about each one of us, am I showing all meekness to all men? The only person we can think about him that reached the standard, our Lord. He showed meekness to all men. But it's a challenge for us to reach that level. The Lord wants us to reach that level. For we ourselves also, now he's taking us the motive. Why do I do this? Why I should be this way? Because he's saying, we ourselves, we were sometimes foolish. We were bad. We were disobedient to God. But what happened? But after that, I like that verse. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. And what a kindness that he reached us with all our sinful condition. So with that, not by work of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of generation and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he had shed unto us. Then, he's saying in verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And verse 8 is encouraging and challenging for all of us. He's saying, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good work. So that's, he's saying it's a faithful thing. When he comes to a faithful thing, that's an important. That's something important he wants to tell us. You got to maintain good work. And again, even when he, in the end of his conclusion, he's trying to tell Titus, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos to their journey. And he's telling to maintain, in verse 14, to learn to maintain good works for necessarily uses, that they be not unfruitful. So always the Lord wants us as a believers to maintain good work and to learn to do that, not to be overloading somebody else. He wants us to work. He wants us to show that we are belong to the Lord and doing what we're supposed to do. And he ends with the general command that we mentioned early, the direction he giving to Titus, that he's standing and he's moving other people. But in general, it is a challenging in this chapter for us, how can we appear as a believer to the outside one? And that's what the testimony is going to be. Sometimes we think our testimony is just between one another when we are here. Yes, that's good. But that's not what all the Lord wants us. In fact, our testimony basically to the outside. When we are out, that's the place where our testimony will be. When I am representing him, I shouldn't be a different person here than in my school workplace. I should be the same. I should be a light where I should be. The Lord give us grace that we should apply the doctrine, not only understand it, but use it and practice it day by day, so it will be a fruitful for us. Let's pray.